So The Great I Am is one of my favorite worship songs. I really love the song, and I love the fact that whenever I sing it, I feel closer to God. That may be that I'm getting lightheaded from trying to hold those long notes, but nevertheless, I think it's a positive experience. Speaking of positive experiences, we had a great one last night. We had tons of people here. One of the first ladies that I spoke to, I introduced myself and she said, "Oh, I know who you are. I come here every year. This is the only place I take my kids." So, and I had several other experiences like that, talking with people who were really blessed that we were doing this because they didn't want their children going knocking on door to door in places where they didn't know who was there. So our goal was to provide a safe alternative for the neighborhood, to show the love of God to our community, and I think we did a resounding success. So thank you to all who participated, which was essentially all. So thank you to everyone who participated, especially to Amanda, who managed the whole thing, although she's not here. She's probably recovering. So I know the feeling. So this was a really blessed time, and it was all, obviously we had the motivation for blessing the community, but it was because of All Saints, okay? Now, most of us, when we think of the principal feasts of the church year, we think of Christmas and Easter, okay? And beyond that, okay, what are the next two biggest feasts in the year? Well, Pentecost, yes, Pentecost is one of them, and All Saints is the next. All Saints is a tremendously important feast. Now, we know that we have St. Patrick's Day and St. Valentine's Day, and almost every day of the year has some saint commemorated on it, whether it be an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, a Christian who lived their lives in such a godly way after the scriptures were written that the church as a whole has decided that they are worthy of respect and admiration, taking a lesson from their lives. And those people we all recognize. We all know the apostles and the evangelists and some of the early deacons and those people who are in the Bible. But there is more to it than that. When we heard in our Old Testament reading, it was from Revelation today, when we heard in Revelation about the multitudes in white robes surrounding the altar, that is who we will be. Those are the saints. And they've come through the tribulation. Now, there's debate as to whether that's, you know, the Tim LaHaye and Jerry Jenkins version of the tribulation, or if that is the life that we lead, that which we go through, that daily process of taking up our cross, dying to ourself and following him. That is a tribulation in and of its own right. And we find us there around the altar. We see ourselves, and that is where we will head. But I want to talk today about the communion of the saints. Because we say it in all of our creeds every Sunday morning. We say the Nicene Creed. We say we believe in the communion of the saints. But we don't often talk about what that means. Well, we have been knit together in one body. But unlike others, there is no great separation when we die. We know that our brothers and sisters, our fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers and mothers and all of our forebears who have gone before us are not lost to us. They've gone ahead and prepared a place for us, and they are worshiping. And we say every Sunday, every time we say Mass, that we join our voices with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, and that company of heaven is the communion of saints. And we celebrate all of our forebears, whether they be saints and martyrs and prophets and apostles, or whether they be good, godly people who lived their lives in the fear and admonition of the Lord and died in complete obscurity. Because we are surrounded by a witness of Christians throughout the ages. In the epistle to the Hebrews, we hear about Abraham and all of the fathers and Moses and all of the things that they did that led to Christ coming and foreshadowed his appearance. And at the end of the Hall of Faith fame, we see this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. There are role models for us, not just in the Bible, which provides incredible models, but throughout the history of the church and also throughout our lives. We don't have to go back 1,000 years to find a saint who is worthy of imitation. We don't have to go back 500, 200, even 100 years. If we look carefully around us, those people are everywhere. And we are surrounded by their witness as much as we are surrounded by the witness of those in heaven. Beyond that, in his first epistle, St. John says, that which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us, that which we all have seen, we heard declare to you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, and Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. And the message we have heard we declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If Christ is in us, then we have fellowship with all of those in whom Christ also abides. This communion of saints is this incredible fellowship of believers who have accepted that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that he is the light of the world. That is not just us here on earth, that is those in heaven. And that is an incredible fact. We are not alone in this walk. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And that is something from which we ought to draw strength. I remember being at a funeral recently. It was a particularly disturbing funeral because it was the death of a small child. And it was a child who had been of the Orthodox faith. And so my wife and I and a few others from Messiah went to this church and participated in a Greek Orthodox funeral, which is an experience I had never had before. And it was very foreign, as Eastern worship services are to Westerners. Now, by no means was it ungodly or unholy. It was a beautiful experience, but very unlike anything that we would do at one of our services. And I find myself continually drawn to the mother of the deceased who stood there and, man, you think we spend a lot of time saying the same thing and repeating back and forth? The litanies that they said went on and on and on. And I found myself thinking, I bet that this woman is upheld by the fact that mothers for centuries have found themselves saying the same prayers and saying the same litanies and the same intercessions and the same psalms and scripture readings and saying them all together in the same way for 500, 1,000 years. And I wonder if she was buoyed up by the fact that so many people had done the same thing before her, and if their prayers gave her strength. That's the communion of the saints. That is finding strength in the witness of those who have gone before, even when they are anonymous to us. Now, I've heard something that I don't think I agree with. It's that those who go before look down on us like some great satellite in the sky and surveil us. I don't think that's true. I don't think that we need to be leery of, you know, great grandma and great grandpa looking down on us and going, oh, don't do, no, that's bad, don't, oh. Okay, look away. Okay? And I don't believe that because I don't believe their face ever looks away from the Lord. I believe they are worshiping God. And they don't have time to be eavesdropping on us in some bizarre Casper the Holy Ghost kind of way. But here's what I do believe. I believe that I have been in prayer and that the Holy Spirit has quickened in me that I needed to pray for someone. And that at that moment, for reasons of which I am completely unaware and will probably never know, I was called to pray for this person or that person, and I believe that many of you have had that same experience. Likewise, I believe that our brothers and sisters who stand around the throne and see God face to face have that experience even more profoundly and more clearly. And when the Holy Spirit quickens in them to pray for someone, they do it. Because that's what happens when you're really on the mountaintop and you're worshiping the Lord, and it doesn't get any more mountaintop than heaven. Amen? So I believe that just as we have that experience where we feel the urging of the Holy Ghost to pray for someone, we don't know why, we just get the feeling that we got to pray for them, that the saints in heaven also have that same urging, only 1,000 times more clearly and more profoundly, and that they continue to intercede for us. And that is a truly encouraging aspect of the faith, because not only do we have this great cloud of witnesses that serve for us as role models, as exemplars of the faith, but on top of that, we have these brothers and sisters, this great cloud of witnesses who intercedes for us on our behalf. And that is incredibly encouraging. That is a reason why today is one of the most important feasts of the year, because we are not alone. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and we believe that we worship with the communion of saints. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.